The title of my message tonight is The Greatest Invitation. And I want you to turn in your Bible to Matthew chapter 11. And we're going to read verse 28 in a minute. And I want you to really share your Bible with somebody next to you. I want everybody to see this. The Greatest Invitation in Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28. Now in lives, there are many, many invitations. We have invitations every day. This is a city where people will kill for certain invitation, to get an invitation to some movie premiere or some award show, or to get that ticket, get that invitation. And there's all types. Every day you have invitations that you accept and invitations you refuse. Now, there's some invitations, we can all look back at some invitations that we really did not want to accept. I remember many years ago, years before I was a Christian, I grew up in bars, and I was in a bar one night and drinking too much, and I was being too loud. I was only 17 years old, and I was very loud, and I was acting up, and the guys, my crew, my friends were there, and after a few minutes, I just looked, and I saw a look on their face. They were looking at something behind me. They all stopped laughing at my jokes and what I was doing, and I turned around, and it was this huge guy. I must have been 6'4", about 300 pounds, and he had a jacket on with a crest that said Hell's Angels. Huge gray beard, hair everywhere, hair on his hair, tattoo on his face. Huge guy, and he went like this. He says, "I can't stand to listen to your voice a second longer." I was just 17 looking at him. He said, "Come here, let's go outside. Come and let's go and dance outside." That's definitely the kind of invitations you don't want to accept. How many of you have had invitations that you're hesitant because you've been there before and it didn't turn out so well, and you're trying, but you feel like saying, "I've been there, done that." A few years later, I was a Christian, and I love doing all kinds of sports, and I decided to go skydiving. So I got a bunch of guys, Christian guys, with me, and we went skydiving. You go in the morning, you get the teaching, all the lessons all day, and at the end of the afternoon, you go 15,000 feet in a Cessna plane, and you jump. You're skydiving, and they showed us film during the day, and they showed us everything that was to take place, and very exciting. And I told the guy, "Let me go first," and I. All my guys are in the plane, and you get to the wing of the Cessna, and he says, "Go," and I go. And when you do, he had explained to us, you have two handles, one left, right, and the handles help you to turn. You turn right, you turn left, and you're going to go to the ground. There's a big target on the ground with an arrow. You fly in the arrow, and the guy said, "There's no worry, because I'm going to talk to you through everything. You have a helmet with a microphone, and he's speaking to you." I was number eight, go left, go right, go right. And he said, "You don't do anything until I tell you, and at the moment when you get to close to the ground, I will say close it, and you'll just shut it in, and you'll just go and land on your feet. It's going to be beautiful. It's going to be perfect." So I go, and when I do, I pull on my handle, and my handle just rips, and I can't go left anymore. My handle is ripped, and I'm going right, and I hear number eight. The wind got me, and I got out of the frequency. I couldn't hear him anymore, and I couldn't turn left. And I see the target. I see my friends. I see the sight, and I'm going into a neighborhood. I'm going into an area. Now, this was before the age of cell phones and pictures. And if this was today, I would be on YouTube. Everybody would have picked me up. And I'm flying in, and I can't do it. I'm going right, and I can't go left. And I'm going in right over some electricity wires and just electricity poles. And I just lifted my legs, went right over it, and I'm landing in a neighborhood. And I didn't know, but they had called the cops. They had called ambulances. Firemen are coming. They think, and my canopy wrapped in the electricity wires, and the whole neighborhood went black, went dark. I just fell in a little wooded area, not a scratch on me, but they came, and I saw the ambulances come in and everything, and everybody's just shocked. Everybody's crying and shaking, and my friends don't want to jump anymore. We don't want to go. We don't want to jump. So I told the guy, listen, I know this is safe. This was just a fluke. Let me try again. Let me get on it again. Let me jump so my friends will jump too. And he said, you sure? I said, sure, let's go. So we went up again. And I have to admit that when I was holding on for the second time, and he said, go. Go. It was an invitation I wasn't sure I wanted to accept. Because I'd been there before. But I did let go and everything went well. And I'm here to tell you about it. Many invitations in life. Some of you had moments where your life was almost stolen from you, where you went into disaster because you accepted some invitations. There's some of you can remember some moments in life, some crossroads moments where invitations were given to you and saying yes or saying no had a real dramatic effect on your life. And in just a few minutes tonight, I want to propose to you the greatest invitation. It's an invitation that has changed the life of millions and millions of people. It is an invitation that can change your life tonight. It's an invitation that can answer your deepest questions and meet the deepest needs of your soul. It is an invitation that can cause you to be filled with a power to become everything you're unable and incapable of being in yourself. It is an invitation. It is the greatest invitation. It's an invitation that's of eternal consequences, but it's an invitation that is so intimate and so personal. It's an invitation directly sent from God to you personally. The Bible says that He has our names written on His palms, that our names are written on the palms of His hands, that tonight God is calling your name. And the greatest invitation is found in the world and in the history of your life can be to, as you answer this invitation tonight. And this invitation is so personal and it requires an answer from you. In Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28, it is great because it's not an invitation from a church. It's not an invitation from a religion. It's not an invitation to a philosophy. It's not an invitation to a new religion. It's an invitation from Christ, from a God that is alive and His love and His forgiveness. And He says to every one of you, here's the invitation, verse 28. Come unto me. Come. You that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and hear from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest from your soul. He says, learn of me, for I am gentle and compassionate of heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And one more verse, a couple more verses in chapter 12 and verse 9. As Jesus invites every one of us, we have this moment in Matthew 12, 9. Now when he had departed from there, he went into the synagogue. And behold, there was a man who had a withered hand. And in verse 13, we read, and Jesus said to the man, stretch out your hand. And he stretched it out. And it was restored. And in verse 15, Jesus withdrew from the multitudes and other multitudes followed him and he healed them all. And yet he warned them not to make him known, that it might be fulfilled that was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, behold my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him. Verse 20, a bruised reed he will not break, a smoking flax he will not quench. And lastly, verse 21, and in his name, Gentiles, and you can read it this way, and in his names, billions through the centuries, all the way to New York City in June 08, in his names, many will trust. The greatest invitation is Christ inviting every one of us tonight, and he invites us to his renewing power. He invites us to receive because we are precious to him. He invites us to his rest and his promise. He says, come unto me. And the importance and the vitality and the power of the invitation is because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. There is no shadow of variation in God. And the reason why millions every year are coming around the world, that millions are discovering in the living Christ a change for their heart and a rest for their heart and a peace for their soul and a calm of their mind is that Christ is alive, and when he invites, it's a living God that invites you today. Please consider with me this invitation. He invites you to rest in his promise. He invites you to his rest, and please consider the simplicity of the invitation. He just says, come. Now, religions will try to make a relationship with God complicated, and many of you have known religion that reduce a Christian life to rules and regulations and laws. And Jesus was speaking to a people that he's surrounded with Pharisees that just in their law, they had 365 negative commandments, and they had hundreds of positive, but 365, there was something you weren't allowed to do for every day of the year. And many, many today have grown up with a religion that just was a series of laws. And it seems complicated, and it seems harsh, and it seems difficult, but Jesus just says, come. The simplicity of the invitation. And please notice the scope of the invitation. He says, come, all of you that are heavy laden. All of you that suffer, all of you that hurt, all of you that in this age of burnout and in this age of anguish and in this age of worry and in this age of even if we put a good face on, a good mask on, that in the quietness of our soul on the boulevard of broken dreams, men and women that are looking for rest, looking for peace, looking for a soothing of their soul. He says, all, please notice the scope of the invitation. All of you, those that think you don't need him, and those that think you don't deserve him, all of us, please look at the scope and the simplicity. Please look at the surety of the invitation. And he says, and I will give you rest. In this world of broken promises, where people have said to you, I will, where men and women have stood next to each other and have said, I will, only to tear each other up. In this world where even religious leaders could have promised us something, and we've looked at their lives and have been cruelly disappointed, I'm here to say that in this world of broken promises, Jesus says, I will. And there is a surety to this invitation. He invites us to his peace, and he invites us to his promise. And if everybody else has broken their promises to you, how many of you can testify tonight? We need to, if you look over this audience, there's 100 nations, all backgrounds, all types of men and women, all different life stories that could stand up one after the other and say and testify, this is truth. This was truth to me. I came to him as I was. I came to him in pieces. I came to him with my doubts and my questions, but he brought me out of a miry clay, and he put my feet on a rock, and he put peace in my heart. If this is your story, I want you to give Jesus an ovation so others would hear it. Hallelujah. He invites you to rest in his promise. If you come to my office in Montreal, in my office, there's a, right behind where I work, there's this picture. It's a simple picture that somebody took. Somebody was taking pictures for an album we were making. And it was just pictures while people were praying on a Sunday night. And it just captured a little line of people from our church, and they're holding hands and they're praying. And you would look at them and you don't know, but I know every one of their stories. Every one of them came to the Lord in our church. And I have it behind me in my office, because whenever the enemy would want to whisper in my ear, whenever doubts would try to come, I just have to take a look at that picture, because it's just a sample. It's seven or eight of them, and they're just standing and they're worshiping together. And there's a man there who's a doctor and a surgeon, and who lives in a $15 million home. And he, years ago, had everything you can imagine that money can buy, he has, but he was dying inside. He was in depression. He was taking pills to go to sleep, taking pills to get up. He was terrified because he was operating under those conditions. He was making himself sicker and sicker, years without sleep. And a friend of his got saved and came to church and brought him. And this man is a skeptic. This man is a mocker. This man was a man who had no taste for religion. But he sat in the back one Sunday morning, and a simple invitation was made, like I'm doing tonight. And he did. I'm not saying you have to do what he did, but he just believed. And a thought came into his mind. For years and years, I cannot go. It's impossible for me to go to bed without these pills. But the thought kept filling his mind. You could go to bed tonight and God will give you rest. You can go to bed tonight and God will give you rest. And he came forward and we prayed with him. I didn't know anything about this. I didn't know anything about him, but I said, I didn't know anything, but I said, the Lord has brought you here to give you rest. And he looked, repos. And he just looked at me, rest. And that night, and this is the way he tells it. It's not my favorite part of the story, but this is the way he tells it. He says, somebody, when I walked out, said, you know, you can get the messages on CD. And he says, hey, I'll do that. And he got one or two of my preaching CDs, and he went and laid down, and he said, no pills tonight. I'm just going to listen to Pastor Claude. And he says, Pastor Claude, listening to you, I went right to sleep. I went right to sleep listening to you. How many of you understand that beyond a boring preacher, it was the rest of God? It was the invitation of God. Just completely free from all of this, and he's holding hand. He's standing there, and he's holding hand. And on the picture, it's particularly, they just met in the front. He's holding hand with a woman who was a Catholic nun for 30 years. And she gave everything she had to religion, and she gave it everything she had, and she was in her 60s and in a monastery and working in social works around the world, but an emptiness in her soul and a torment in her soul. So she started to listen to our radio program. She wasn't allowed to listen to it, but she would just put under her pillow and listen to it. And one night by her bed in the monastery, she received Christ, not a religion, not a new religion, Christ, the one who invites you, and she received peace. And she's there. She's one of our intercessors now. She loves to worship in the house of God. She's been baptized in water, and she came out of something, but she entered into the rest that Christ had for her. And so she's holding hand. She's holding hand with a doctor, and he's holding hand with Emmanuel, who used to be in a Haitian gang and carrying his, filled with hatred and carrying his machine gun. And he's got this love on his face, and he's filled with the rest of God. And he's holding hand with a Catholic nun, and she's holding hand with a doctor who couldn't sleep. And this gangster, Haitian gangster from the streets of Montreal, is holding hand with a police detective from Montreal who can also come unto me, all, and I will give you rest. Hallelujah. He invites us to his rest and his promises, and he invites us to his renewing power. And a man came in a synagogue as you came tonight. And when he came, he was a man with a withered hand. The Bible speaks of people who had conditions that were dying, and they had leprosy, or they had something that everybody would see. But this man was different. He had a withered hand. He wasn't dying. It wasn't his whole body. It wasn't his whole life. He wasn't thrown out of everything like a leopard would be in those days. He could have come. He could be sitting next to you. He could come to the synagogue and he could cover it. And he had something that was dead in him. He had something that was withered, that was lifeless. And he could learn, you understand? You can learn to live with it, and you can learn to accept it, and you can learn to say, this is just part of me. This is the part of you that's dead. This is the part of you you've lost. This is the part of you that is lifeless. This is the part of you that is hurting, but you've learned to cope. You've learned to cover it. You've learned to walk with it. You've learned to, is some of you, this, that part of you is eating you, and it's destroying you, and it's killing you, but you've learned to build all these rationalizations in your mind as to why you have to live this way. And Jesus is altogether lovely, altogether tender. Altogether love. There is no shadow in him of wanting to embarrass or wanting to put someone on the spot. That's not in Christ. But as this man comes, there's something in the heart of God when he says, come unto me. Come unto me, and I will give you my rest and my promises. Come unto me, and I can renew by my power everything that is dead in you. And he says, give me your hand. Stretch it out. Give me what hurts. Give me what has been the wound. Give me what is dead. Give me what has lost life in you. Give me what that dream that you have given up on. Give me what you thought you dreamt of being and have just given up on it. Give me what secretly hurts you, but you don't tell anybody. Give me what you've lost. Give me what you've always wanted and never had. Just give it to me. Come unto me. Give it to me. I invite you to my rest and my promises. And I invite you to my resurrection power, to my renewing power. When I came to Christ, I was filled with, I became a Christian. But I grew up with hatred in my heart. My grandfather was a hateful man, and my dad was, and I was too. And I hated a lot of people. but I hated my father most. My father was a violent man who beat us, and he was a man who I grew up terrified in my house. My furthest memory as a child is my brother running into my bed, and I would hold him, and my dad would just scare us because he would just, for hours and hours, he would rant, and you never know when he would jump, come into the room and kick the door in, and he would beat on my mother, and he would beat on us, and I remember, I have memories of him just carrying me next to his, where he sat, and he was drinking, and he would hold me by the throat and just let me go. And when I would get up, he'd put his hand back on my throat when I was 6, 7, 8 years old. And I grew up with this. And it's a moment of insanity where my fear of him was, my hatred of him went further than my fear of him. And when I was 11 years old, one night I came out of my room and we had milk in glass bottles back in those days, and it's shaking, and I can't even fathom it now when I look at 11-year-old children, but these was the days I was living and the life I was living. So I broke the glass bottle. And I remember trembling, shaking, but so filled with hatred, walking into the living room and telling my father, saying, you better stop. Cause that night he was beating on my mother, and he was just tearing her up, and he had her by the hair, and he was going like this around the apartment. I came out with the glass bottle and I said, if you don't stop beating mom, you better kill me. And I was screaming with all my might, you better kill me. Do you understand? You better kill me, because if you don't, when you go to sleep, I'm going to open you up like a fish. I'm going to kill you. Do you understand me? And I grew up with this, and he left and came back and left and came back, and I accepted the Lord at age 17 and came to Christ. But I'm going to share something, and I don't know why, because I have not shared this 2 or 3 times in my whole life, but I felt to share it tonight as I come to an invitation in a moment, that somebody would need to know that whatever is dead in you, whatever is hurt in you, whatever is wounded in you, God can heal. God can touch. God says, give it to me. Give it to me. I accepted Christ and I went to a Bible school very early. And I was sitting in a Bible school and we had what they called revival for a few days. The Spirit of the Lord and hundreds of students were touched and praying almost day and night. And everybody was getting touched except me. I was sitting there and I didn't understand what was going on. And the thing that been very hard for me to share anywhere, but I feel to say it tonight. For years and years and years, I would dream every night. I would dream every night that my dad would beat on me. And I would dream every night that I would literally fly out of my neighborhood. I could take you to the street. I would begin to fly out. And as I was beginning to fly out, I would start going back down. And when I would go back down, my dad was waiting for me. And he would begin to choke me and I would wake up. For years. After I was a Christian, I would dream this every night. So here I am in a Bible school. There's hundreds of students and we're all sitting there. And I have to be honest with you. I wasn't raised in church and all of this was new to me. And there was a lot of stuff that I wasn't comfortable with. I wasn't comfortable with men hugging men. Guys would hug me and I never kissed my mother before. I just wasn't that kind of person. When I met my wife, she started kissing my mom and it was embarrassing because my mom and I didn't ever kiss and here's my wife and she's kissing. So just, we weren't that way. So in church, a lot of stuff was hard. God bless you and the kissing and all of that. Oh, you got, don't act like, how many of you understand? It's not you, but you know somebody like that. Then the hardest thing was when somebody would come to me and say, I want to pray for you or pray with one another. And I just felt caught. I just didn't know. Here I am in the Bible school and I'm sitting there alone. I'm having a pity party and I'm miserable. And why is everybody acting all? And everybody's touched except me. And I'm just sitting there. And this man comes and that total stranger, never seen him before nor since. And he came and sat next to me, right? As if he's my best friend. And I just wanted to be left alone. And here he is. I say, hi, God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. And he puts his arm around me. And he's got his arm around me now. And he says, brother, can I pray for you? I said, sure. And I thought if he prays, then he'll be done and he'll go. But then he starts saying, the Lord send me to you. The Lord send me to you to say that he's seen everything your father did to you. And these words, exact words. And the Lord has seen what you dream every night. There's this wound in you that no man can ever heal. But God has sent me to tell you that if you give it to him, He will heal you and He will change your heart, your mind, your soul, your spirit. He will change your dreams. He will set you free if you give it to Him. And it was a moment. It was a moment. It was that moment of just, I could have brushed him off. I could have said, thank you. Well, thank you. And I just started to weep and I said, well, pray for me, sir. And he just prayed for me. And I want you to know, this might sound simplistic to some of you, but if over the weeks and months that followed, a spirit of love and forgiveness and a spirit of compassion replaced the hatred. And 2 years later, I was preaching. And while I was preaching, I saw my dad come in, sat in the back. I had gone to see him. I had prayed with him before, but here he was in the back. And I had the privilege of making an altar call and seeing my own father come. Hey, listen. Just give his life to Christ. And I had the privilege months later after discipling him of baptizing him in water. I baptized my father. He was only 51 years old. And I thought we had 30 years or 20, 30 years ahead of us. And I baptized him. And a few months later, he died in a massive heart attack. Just like that. Slipped into the arms of God. And I'm here to tell you, whatever the womb, whatever hurts, whatever is sick, whatever is dead, you can bring it to Christ. He says, come unto me and I will give you rest. Bring it to him and he is able to heal. And all of you, please say amen one last time as I close. Would you give him a last clap tonight? I'm done. That's it. I want you to bow your heads, please. I want the musicians to come. Jesus says, come unto me. Learn of me. For I am compassionate of heart. And in the text that we read, he said, if you're like a little flame almost out, everybody else would have thrown you away, put you out and thrown you away. But God says, no, I do not throw away the smoking flag. I do not throw away the reed that is broken. I will fix you. I will heal you. Come unto me. I invite you to my promises and my rest. I invite you to my power and I invite you to receive me because you are so precious to me. So while the musicians begin to play, there is none like you. No one else can touch my heart like you do. I pray now, Holy Spirit, in these short minutes, that you would please come and reveal Christ. I take authority in Jesus' name against confusion, distraction, lies, strongholds that have kept men and women from coming to you or coming back to you. And I pray now for an open heaven. And I pray, Holy Spirit, you administer life. And that many, many, many would receive your invitation tonight and say, I'm coming, oh God. I'm coming, oh God. I'm coming, oh God. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Everybody praying with all your hearts, please. I'm going to ask you to please stand with me. Let's all stand in the presence of the Lord in this moment of reverence. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Please standing in his presence. Put all your notes away. And I'm going to invite you tonight. Please, everybody praying with your heads bowed, give me 1 minute. And as we main floor and balcony and in the annex, I'm going to make this invitation, and we're not inviting you to an organization or to a religion. We're not even inviting you to a church, and this is a great church. This is a church where a pure word is spoken and true love is found. And there is truth and love and care in this church, and I recommend this church to any man or woman, but we're not inviting you to a church. We are inviting you to a living God who says, come unto me. And I invite you to my power and my promise. So if you're here tonight, if you're standing here in the presence of the Lord, if you're here tonight and you say, I need this rest. When I lay down at night, or even when I wake up in the morning and all day, from panic attacks to worry about your children, to fear, to anguish, to oppression, I need this rest. I need this rest. I need this peace. If you're here tonight and you say, this word was for me, Pastor, I need to come to Christ. I need to receive this rest. Men and women. There are men that are here with a strong facade and a great mask. But when you lay down at night, there's a torment in your spirit, my brother. Sir, ma'am, He will give you rest. He promises it. And His promises are true. There's no variation or shadow of change in Him. There's no disappointment in Him. So if you're here tonight and you say, I need this rest. I need this rest. I want you to come out of your seat right now. And I want you to come up to the front. And if you invited somebody and they're sitting next to you, without pushing them, but with love, I want you to say, if you want, I will go with you. And I want you to come with them. Main floor balcony, I want you to come and stand here. We will pray with you. And we are believing for a miracle of peace, a miracle of rest. And as you come to Christ, as you come to God, as you come to Jesus in repentance to receive, I come to repent, which is confessing of my sins, confessing of everything that is wrong. And I'm coming to God. And when I come and recognize and acknowledge my need of Him, the Bible says, and you, as you come to in repentance, you will receive. So I want you to come. I want you to come. If you say, I'm here tonight and I need this rest. I need this peace. I can't find it. I need the rest of God. I want you to come. If you're here tonight and you say, I have something. You didn't share that story in vain. I can't believe you shared that story. There's something withered in me. There's something in me. When you shared about your own dad, when you shared about your life, there's something in my life that has lost its life. There's something that I've covered. There's something that I've learned to live with. There's something that's dead, something that's hurting me, something that I thought would can never really change. And God is saying to you tonight, bring it to me. Bring it to me. Bring what is hurting to me. Bring what is tormenting to me. Bring what is dry, what has lost its life to me. Your hope and your peace or your joy or your dream of this part of your life. Everything else could be that okay, but there's this part you need to bring to God. So I want you to come out of your seat right now and say, I'm coming with a withered hand. I'm coming with something that is dry. I'm coming with something that's lifeless. And I'm believing God. But I'm asking every believer in this place to be in intense prayer right now. This is life and death, and many are receiving from the Lord. So I want you to be in prayer. But if you're here, main floor, balcony, we're going to wait for you. I want you to come. Yeah, there's something with her, something I need to bring to God. I want you to come. If you're here tonight and you say, I have drifted away. I have been a backslider. Sometimes you can be sitting in church and backslide, and you're slowly drifting. Your heart was drifting. Your heart was getting cold. Or you had known God. You had known church. But something happened. You were tempted away. Or you were hurt away. Or you were seduced away. But tonight you've been away from Him. And this is your night to come back. I want you to step out of your seat. Don't let this invitation go by. You don't know that you have tomorrow. You don't know that you have tomorrow. The heart of Christ does not want you to suffer one more day away from Him. So I want you to come. If you're coming for the first time, if you are coming for the first time, or if you have known God and you need to come back to Him, the musicians and the choir is going to sing, There Is None Like You. And as we sing it, I want you to come. Come from all over this place. If you're coming, I want you to keep coming. I'm going to wait for you. Come on. You that have come forward, I'm going to lead you in a prayer. And it's not the repetition. I'm just going to lead you because sometimes we don't even know how to address God. We don't even know how to pray. But we have this assurance tonight. The Bible says we have this assurance that when we pray, He hears us and He will answer our prayer. There is something eternal, something supernatural, something eternal that will happen in this moment of faith. As we lead you, it's not because of me leading you. It's not because of the words that are chosen. It's because of the sincerity of your heart. God knows your heart. I'm giving you these words. I'm going to ask you to pray them with me. But I'm going to ask the whole church to pray them with you. Because we want you to know that you're not alone in this moment. We're going to join our voices with you. So you know that you're not alone. We are with you in this moment. The most important moment of your life. Some of you have struggled for so long. Some of you have drifted away from so badly. But this is your night. The enemy has tried everything to keep you away from this moment. All hell tried to keep you away, but we declare tonight the defeat of hell in your life. You are here and you received the invitation and you responded, and nothing will stop the blessing of God in your life. So I'm going to ask the whole church to extend your hands. This is the greatest miracle that can happen in a church. So I'm going to have the whole body extend their hands towards these precious men and women of all ages, all backgrounds. And I'm going to ask you to pray this prayer with me, and the whole church would pray it with you, that you would know that we are with you now. And God's heart is beating fast right now. Wait, He was waiting for this moment. So now He can unleash all of His love and deliverance and power and mercy on you. So let's pray together, all of you that have come forward, with the whole church praying with you, saying, Lord Jesus, I come to you. I heard your invitation, and I come to you. I ask you to forgive me for all of my sins. I receive you as my Lord and my Savior. I come to you. I come back to you. I place my faith in you. I trust in you. Give me your peace. Heal me. Deliver me. Change me. Make me a new person. Let all things be passed away, and all things become new. I come to you, Jesus. I receive you. I trust in you. And I declare by faith that my life will never be the same. I am a child of God, and nothing shall separate me from your love. In Jesus' name. I want the whole church to extend your hands towards them. My Lord, I pray now that your spirit would witness to their spirit, that they are now children of God, that you have written their names in your Lamb's book of life, that Father God, you are now filling them with your spirit. And with your spirit, there will be healing, and there will be deliverance, and there will be comfort, and there will be direction. I take authority against every spirit of suicide, spirit of obscenity, spirit of discouragement, spirit that has been holding men and women. I take authority and I release these sons and daughters into the abundant life that you have for them, my God, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.